Like to say good afternoon to everyone. We're very thankful to have you on our call today, especially if you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ. We welcome you to our afternoon services at the Hollow Heights Church of Christ, as well as those of our brothers and sisters, maybe from other congregations. Thank you for being with us, and to the Hollow Heights family, we're so thankful to have you on the call this afternoon as well. Now, for those who may not be members of the Lord's Church, that we want you to know that we believe in the churches of Christ, that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. And for you to go to heaven, the most important thing is for you to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, believing that he hung, bled, and died on Calvary for you, shed the blood that will wash your sins away in baptism, in the same blood. First, the only church in the Bible that is the Church of Christ, and the Savior in the church, and that's according to the Bible. We pray you will read it, study it, obey it before it's everlasting, turn it too late. This afternoon, for a few minutes, we're going to continue our study of the book of Ephesians, starting in verse 14 of chapter 3. This lesson is entitled, I Bow My Knees. In verse 14, Paul says, I bow for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cause he's speaking of, and I believe, is the fact that all have been brought into one body through the mystery we just talked about. He was talking about the Gentiles have been brought into one faith, one body with the Jews, and they all become one, that the mystery had been revealed. And for that reason, Paul, being a prisoner of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, according to chapter 3, verse 1, he had much gratitude in his heart for God and for what he had done for everyone on this, in this world. He said, I bow my knees. And that's a very important point of this whole lesson as we go through this study. Think in terms of the prayer he's offering to God. And the bowing of knees was a proper posture of prayer to kneel. We find that Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 13, he kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel. In Daniel chapter 6, Daniel, he prayed three times a day. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Daniel 6 and verse 10. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 16, we see when Stephen was about to be stoned and he was just about to die. The Bible says in verse 60, in Acts chapter 7, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, saying, lay not this charge, sin to their charge. And he did, fell asleep. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, the Bible says, but Peter put them off, Peter, and kneeled down and prayed. Turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. She opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. In Acts 21, in verse 5, we see here where Paul talks about when they had company those days, we departed, went on our way. They all brought us on our way with wives and children, or says, till we were out of the city, and we kneeled, wives, children, and everyone kneeled down on the shore and prayed. You know, it's really sad as I looked at this, that that posture is not, you don't see that much anymore. I think of Brother Cook and the congregation there. You see Brother Cook get down on his knees and kneel and pray. That's more in line with what was going on in the first century church. Those who believed in God. Maybe we need to be thinking about this. Kneeling is not a command. That's not what I'm saying. You can stand and pray. You can rise and pray. Thank God it's not a command. But it is an act of reverence and attitude toward God. So let's keep that in mind. Oftentimes when you're praying at home, going to bed, you kneel and pray. That's generally where I see myself doing it more so, but this is public prayer here. And Paul did it writing a letter to Ephesians, and he says to them, what I'm going to get ready to do and what I'm going to say, I'll be bowed in on my knees in prayer to God. And now he said he prayed. He bowed his knees unto the Father. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 talked about praying. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, we'll start there. And when thou prayest, he said, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But now when thou prayest into that enter into that closet, that thou shalt shut that door. Pray to the Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, he says, use not vain repetition, as the heathens do, for they think they be heard from much speaking. Be ye not ye therefore like unto him, for he notices that your Father knows what things you need before we ask. And then he says this, verse 9, and after this manner, pray ye. So he directs the prayer to the Father, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the prayer, when we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. And so all the brothers who are on the call today listening, wanting to do the lead prayer, the opening prayer, or the second prayer, or the closing prayer, always remember to open your prayer to the Father, our Father which art in heaven. Talk to the Father. Bow your knees to him when you're going through some things. Make sure, no matter what you're doing, whether you're at home or whether you're going through situations in life, make sure you address it to the Father, because Jesus says he knows what you need before you ask. But the authority for prayer to be heard is in the name of Jesus. Whatever we do, in word or deed, we do it all in the name of Jesus. So proper prayer is we address the Father. We ask him for what we need, whether it's prayers or supplications or intercessions, a prayer of thanksgiving, which we should do all these different prayers, but always do it and end it in the name of Jesus and by his authority are we able to talk to the Father as his children. And so as we are praying, keep in mind that as we're praying, for example, if we're praying an opening prayer to the church and people have responded to our prayer requests, it's good that the one who's doing that prayer is listening carefully to prayers and intercession, and you make those prayers known. So we do opening prayer, that's for that particular opening request. Then you have a second prayer, includes a whole lot of different things. And then the invitation prayer would be for those people who have responded to the invitation. And then the closing prayer, it'd be closing, such as closing our worship. Now in your homes, I encourage everyone to have a prayer line in your home or your job during the day. Always understand that the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. The reason I say that is because not everyone's prayer will be heard. And we know that this we know, John 9:31, that God hears not sinners. So there's another Father we have to understand. This prayer, to bow down to the Father, you must be an obedient child of God. This is a person who's been baptized in the remission of sins. They're not living in sin. They're not continuing in sin. They're not willfully sinning. They're in a position to pray to the Father, and the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open. But when you got sin in your life, your sin can separate you from God, Isaiah 59:1-2, and he will not hear. There's another Father, John 8:44, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning, bold not in truth, because there was no truth in him. When he's speaking a lie, he's speaking of his own. He's a liar. And the Father. So the important thing about praying is making sure your life is in a position where you can pray and you've obeyed God. You've been living faithful to God. And you want to also include yourself in the prayer. If you lead the prayer, I ask God to forgive me for anything I may have said, word, thought, or deed, that I may take his people to the throne of grace. Now, in verse 15, Paul says, of whom the whole family, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth, and they're talking about the Father, of whom the Father referred to here again. The whole family, I like this idea of heaven and earth. There's a family in heaven. There's a family here on earth. We are the children of God. The idea is that our Father is the father of all families of his children, whether Jews or Gentiles, on earth or in heaven. It means that everyone is in the family Oh God, isn't that a beautiful thought? That our families in heaven. Hopefully one day we'll all be able to join with them. If we live faithful unto them, we too can go to our Father's house where there are many mansions and live there and reap the rewards that we've been so diligently living our lives in order to make heaven a home, to see God's face in peace, and to be with his family there in heaven. But no matter where they are, in heaven or earth, no matter what nation, nationality, all people who obey God have one family. We are one. This is important for us to know because all of us need each other. I think in terms of how much we need each other, how life is family. We are a family. We sing this song, we're family, God's family. Sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. And at times when we dream or think about how it's going to be, we'll get to heaven as God's family. We know the unity of the Spirit is found in Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There's one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all. And then, you know, that brings us all into the family with the Lord, the Spirit, the Father, all being one. First, so when we bow our knees, we're bowing to our Father. And there are a lot of blessings to recognize as we go through this text. First of all, that we have a family. And I would just pause here to say, let's treat each other like family. You know, when you, and I think about being in the family as the church and how often our, how we treat our family members. Sometimes, you know, family members are going to have spouses and things like that, but we don't stop loving each other. We don't start treating each other as outsiders. We continue to own them as our family. That's one of the beautiful things about growing up in my home with my mom and dad. They always emphasize we were all to remain remembered that we were brothers and sisters and family. And we always respected our mom and dad as our parents and our children. The same thing comes from the family of God. We have a parent that is God the Father. And we are to his spiritual children. And let me just drop this while we're talking about it. The Church of Christ is not limited to the building and Hollow Heights. Many I've heard say things like, well, you know, we're losing members. Well, the membership, listen carefully, belongs to God. The church is universal. It's not confined to one local building. You know, we need to understand that as long as people are serving God and their souls are saved, that's what we should care about. That's like my son is not in my house. My daughter is not in my house with me right now. But my prayers, they're okay. No matter where people are worshiping at, let's remember. These are God's children, and God's children need to be wherever they can grow and be safe, and their souls are safe, and we should love everyone and remember everyone. We may not see, let's pray for them and pray all is well with their souls. But let's don't get so concerned about someone not coming to our life's building again. We shouldn't get that concern. Not that we don't care. We care. We love everyone, but everyone should be given respect for their decision about what's best for their souls and what particular congregation they want to serve. Because they're all God's children. And I just love the fact that there are people in that have come through under my preaching, from me preaching the word of God, their souls are saved. There's no greater thing that we can do, you all. For an individual is to share the gospel with them and know that they obey the gospel and they're still in the Lord's kingdom. We just pray none of them, no one leaves the church. I know in my missions, but probably I'm baptizing the thousands of people in the 37 years I've been preaching, thousands, many, many numbers. I can think, I'll say that to Pam or someone, but I'll say, I'm just thankful. Me, the thrill of victory was having a part in their and teaching them what they must do to bring them into the family of God and have that relationship. We bow our knees and thank God for family. To the Hollow Heights family, I bow my knees and thank the Hollow High family. And we can feel the love when you're in the family. You know, you're in the family, you can feel the love. When family love each other, we help each other. And that's important. As we bow our knees, you all, let's remember to thank God for the family of God universally. And all of us are children of God. By faith in Christ Jesus, whoever obeyed the gospel. Now, verse 16. Paul said, I bow my knees, that he would grant you. He's talking to them. Here's what he said. I want God to grant you, but to give this to you according to the riches of his glory. Paul is recognizing the riches of God's glory. He said, I want what God can do with his riches of his glory. That he said, I pray that he will grant you this to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Paul is reaching to this family of the Ephesians family, saying, you all, I want God is so rich in his glory, but I want him, my prayer, I bow my knees, that you might be strengthened by God's spirit, and that his spirit will connect with your inner being, which is your inner spirit. And that's important to know, that the way that works is when you take the word of God, you study the word of God, you let the word of God work in your heart and in your mind. When you add God's word to your heart, Paul is saying, that's how you are strengthened. I don't know who on the call today may be going through something, but to be strengthened from God, that is to give you, God can give you the abundant strength to bear trials, to get through your troubles, to have confidence in things that are going to happen in your life. It's in your inner body, it's in your heart, in your mind, where you and your soul connects to God. And God can strengthen you through his word. That's why it's important, you all, to be students of the Bible and know that you need to add God's word to your heart that you might not see it. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, in verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So when you're getting fed, like you put food in your mouth and go to your stomach, it feeds the physical body. When you feed the spiritual body, you're adding the bread of life, the word of God, to your mind. And when you put it in your mind, what Paul is saying to them, God can grant to you through the riches of his glory. God can strengthen you by his spirit. He can strengthen your inner being. Somebody said, Brother, I'm going through a whole lot of things. I don't know how I'm going to make it. You can make it. You can make it because God can give you abundant strength. He can give you the strength. Just remember his word. Don't let the words of God be just something you say. You know, when God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, take that in and let that minister to your spirit. God is there. He said, I never will leave you. Never will I forsake you. He will strengthen your body. When you need comfort, God can give you comfort. You got to know your heart of hearts and your mind. The more you put God's word in, the more confident your strength will be. You have strength to get through whatever you're dealing with. It enables you to bear the trial, to resist temptation, to discharge the duty of living as a Christian, to be able to forgive others, to be able to love one in spite of what may have happened, to know your child is sick or your husband is sick or someone has cancer or someone is near death. You know, it's God can work within you to strengthen you. I hope you can say it with my bow my knees. And I'm thankful for the family of God. I bow my knees because God can give my enemy strength to make it through. Oh, yeah, you may cry. You may have tears showing on the outside. But you know, I know my God is able. I can do all things, Paul said, through Christ, which strengthens me. Yeah, And so that's part of this, what he says here. In verse 17, a little bit more here, that Christ, he got by my knees, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's kind of what I just talked about. How? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. He will, Paul said, I'm praying, I'm by my knees, that you let Christ dwell there. That you hold on to what you've learned. Reach, listen when you come to worship, or when you get on the call. Listen to the nuggets of the word of God that's coming into your heart, that's developing your faith. Paul said, I'm praying that that word would dwell and hold its place in your mind, in your heart, that faith that came from hearing the word of God. Then he says, secondly, I'm praying about these, that once your faith, that Christ dwelling in you, he said that you be rooted and grounded. Notice what he says, in love. He said, now it is. That he said, I want you to hold that belief system, that doctrine of Christ, the teaching of the love of Christ. Why? In the heart. You got to know that you got the what's going to hold us to the church, what's going to keep you with the Lord, is your love for God. Why? Love never fails. And God is love. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 1 through 8, he said, do I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity? I become as a sounding brass, a tinkered cymbal. And do I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and knowledge? Do I have all faith so I can remove mountains? Have not charity, I want nothing. And do I bestow all my goods to feed the poor? Do I give my body to be burned and have not charity? If part profited me nothing. He said, charity suffered long. So here's love in action. Love, here's why Paul was saying that we hold on to this love, that what he was saying, that we be rooted and grounded right here. Because as long as you can love God, you can love your enemy. Easy. If you can love, he said, yes, if you love God, you can love your enemy. You can suffer long with someone who's acting up. You can be kind when someone's not being kind. You don't envy. Love won't allow you to envy others. Love will allow you to vaunt yourself or be puffed up against someone else. It don't create higher ups and lower people. Love will never let you look down on someone as they're worse than you are. It don't behave itself unseemly. When someone is not behaving unseemly, love is not involved. It doesn't seek its own. Love is not something that's selfish. Love considers all. It considers everyone. I heard a sister tell me today, she said, boy, I had to really check myself. I was starting to hate Putin. And I can see that. We can hate evil. But you all know that Putin got a soul. And Putin died. Jesus died for Putin. Just like he did us. We don't love the evil. We don't love the killing of the children. We don't love the killing of the innocent people. But the love of God is that we love everyone. The soul of man is what we love, not the acts of evil. And that was a good check for her that she had to do that. Now we pray for him. We need to pray that God would move with that situation. That's what we can do, to not to hate him, but to pray for him. Because it, certainly God can do things. There's another thing. God is involved in everything going on in this world. God let the pandemic happen. It didn't happen because some man, I know they said monkey or whatever, bad word. God allowed that pandemic would have never came. This war would never started if God allowed. He allowed it. But you know there are Christians there too. There are people there that are praying. The people there that are serving the Lord. It's been like that since the days of Noah. Even back in the beginning, there were times when people just going to do evil. But love, you know, we need to be rooted in the ground of love. And Paul said, you don't rejoice in iniquity, kind of like Balaam did this morning. We're talking about it. You don't make up laws to satisfy your own selfish desires. Love won't let you do that. Love rejoices in truth. Somebody said, Brother Brooke, you talking about me? Who said that to you? You know, if we say something from the Word of God and we teach it, and it hits you and it's true, you should be rejoicing in truth. You should love the fact that Brother Brooke hurt me, but he told me the truth. Here's the thing. truth only hurts when you don't want it. When you don't want the truth, then it hurts. But the truth in love, you can rejoice in truth. True love beareth all things, believeth all things, hoped all things, endured all things. And then in verse 8, Paul says, it never fails. That's why we need to be rooted and grounded in truth. Brother, sister, if we understand love as taught in the New Testament and know that God is love, and we, to make it to heaven, and we can learn to love God, then we can love everybody else. And we can live this life because love will never fail. So Paul is praying to the congregation. I pray for us that we be firmly established, rooted and grounded as a tree whose roots strike deep, extend far down in the hole, in the ground. I was clearing some land, and there were some trees you could easily push them over. But there were some trees, like them old oak trees, they go so deep down in the ground, it takes a whole lot to move that tree. And we want to be deeply rooted in the love of God. Then verse 18, Paul said, I bow my knees, that you may be able to comprehend and understand all what saints, with all saints, what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. Paul was talking about, he wanted them to understand what he was talking about, being rooted and grounded in love. The depth of love, the love of God shed abroad in the hearts of men. And when people love God, they can love. But Paul said, to really comprehend the depth of God's love, Paul prayed that they could understand it. Paul also said this in another occasion, because the depth of God's love and Jesus' love on the cross. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, Paul says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, look here, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Paul, he says, is it going to be trials and tribulations? Is it going to separate us from the love of Christ? Is it going to be stressful things? Is it going to be prayer persecution, as was said in the prayer? Today, we're going to go through, God never told us to, this life was going to be a life without persecution. He told us that we were going to go through some things, but that doesn't stop Christ from loving us. Paul says, as it is written, for thy sake, we'll kill all the day long. We'll count it as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we're more than conquerors. Here he comes. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, it's still possible, that neither. Paul said, I am persuaded, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, or things present, or things to come. No height, no depth, or no other creature, where it is, shall separate us, no, from who? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. See, the love of God came in the form of giving his child. That's John 3:16. That's the so love right there. It's not a love like that one. So love. And that love then was demonstrated, which was in Christ. That's why Christ said, greater love have no man than this, than lay down his life. You know, when Christ said, if I be lifted up. See, when you lifted up, when Christ was lifted up on the cross, actually that was the demonstration of his love to us. And that's the drawing power for those who are not Christians to come to him, that love like a magnet. That kind of love where man would give his life and go through all the beating and the torture and the execution, and a father who would watch it all happen and still allow his son to go through it for us. It's hard to comprehend for mankind. I don't know if I could give my child for people who don't care. So God is not like that. He gave it, his love, for people, whether they cared or not, whether they loved him back or not. He gave them that love. He demonstrated love. Then Jesus went through the whole, act of love, through taking everything he took and doing his Father's will. Knowing the only hope we had to go to heaven, brother, sister, to be saved, and friends, is that we had to understand, comprehend with that kind of love. Why wouldn't I love him back? That's why it's important that we share the facts of the gospel every time we preach, because that's a love story. That's the magnet that draws people to God. So Paul said, I bow my knees for the family. I bow my knees that you be rooted and grounded in love. I bow my knees that you can understand, comprehend the depth, the height of this love. In verse 18, I bow my knees and to know the love of Christ. What I just talked about, Paul said, to understand it, and this goes with every verse, may be able to comprehend. And then this verse says, to know, have this knowledge, which passes, kind of sound like contradictions, which passes not. It's like where he said, Paul said, he can give you peace that's passing. Said, see, this degree of love that God had for us, many people, it's hard to comprehend. How could, I just said, how could someone love me so much when I'm such a filthy rag? You know, you think about that. And when you think about someone who can love you like that, you think about the closest I can get is no matter what I do as a child, my mama always loved me. My daddy always loved me. And if somebody told me, hey, don't call me again, she'll leave my baby alone. Like, it was a love there because we had a bond, maybe from a woman. But even when I made things that she knew were right, and she would scold me, yet I knew there was a love there. And if that's not your child, understand this. A biological mother, a biological parent have a love for their child that other people can't step in and give, because it's a natural bond. In the case with God, he give us his love through his son, and we are to respond, and when we can comprehend how much he loves us, we'll do everything we can to serve him faithfully. Be filled with all the fullness of God, what Paul said. Feel with God's grace to be full, to know the love of God that was shed, that was there. Paul said in Romans 5:7-8, he said, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everyone, that's the degree of love he had. And sometimes it's hard for us just to love another brother or sister or family member or friend or ex-wife or ex-husband or an enemy, you call it. God's love loves everyone regardless of how bad they may be in the eyes of mankind. To know this, to feel it, you all, to have a sense of the highest privilege of a Christian is to exemplify the love of Christ in your life. It should excite your gratitude toward him. It prompts us to live a life of self-denial, to make us faithful in our lives. And you know, in your Christian life, the love of Christ should constrain, start controlling your behavior. Now, I can look back over my life as a Christian, and being a preacher, you talk a lot about yourself sometimes, because that's why there are times when that love, I didn't have that degree of love, understanding the privilege of the Christian love and the love God has for me. And the more I love God, the more controlled, more constrained I am. I can love. I don't hate anyone. Can you say that? There's not anyone that I would just speak to, or anyone I just think that's the worst person in the world. That's what love can do for you. And maybe on the call this evening, you're having those kind of issues. It's probably you haven't comprehended that God loved you when you was at your worst. And if you think about it like that, maybe that'll help you reverse your psychology on it and understand, you know what? I know I can love more. I can love deeper. I can love with height and depth. I can love in a way that represents God who is love. Now, verse 20. Paul says, now unto you that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works with us in us. Now, in the end, as he's starting to close this prayer by now, he said, now, I want to say this to him, God. He can do more than all of us can desire or even ask in our prayers. More than we can even conceive. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:9, I have not seen, ears had heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Verse says, we ain't even seen. We ain't heard everything. God got something waiting on us. And I know somebody on this call. You need this right now. God gonna be there for you. He gonna come through for you. He gonna be with the surgeons. He gonna help the situation with the cancer. He gonna give you things that you didn't think you needed. And there are things that we think we need. But we pray for as a need, and it's not a need. It's a want. But God works, as Paul is praying, that you're praying to a God that can do exceeding abundantly above everything you could say in a prayer. He can go farther than you ask. He can do more than you want. And just because God didn't answer the prayer the way you asked it, doesn't mean that he didn't give you what's abundantly needed in your life. That's why, you remember, as we talked about things happening in your life to bring you to the reality that life is short. Things can happen in your life to bring you into reality that life is precious. If things can happen in your life that brings you to the brink of knowing, I could be next. Things happen. And no matter what happens, all things work together for good. So Paul said unto him, we offer this prayer. And this prayer is about what God can do abundantly above everything you ask of him. That pops right there. You know, as you grow spiritually, some things just come at you when you start studying the word. I said, man, look at that. I looked at that. Even when we pray, we fall short. But God is always ahead of us. I can do more than you're going to ask me to do. And here's what you need to do, Holly. Just remember this. When you bow down this afternoon, when you bow down in your next prayer, just know that God can do more than you will ask him. And you take that. And you take from this lesson. And you get down on your knees. And you talk to your Father. Let me just say this. Praying is not fancy. Like, oh, omnipotent God of heaven and earth. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We know God is all powerful. Prayer is like my children said, Daddy, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, my kids call me for advice all the time. Me and them, we go to God like that. We're His children. We're His family. Sometimes we don't know how to deal with what's happening in our life. I don't know how to deal with what I just went through in my life. I don't know how to deal with the doctor's report. I don't know how to deal with this aging process. I'm starting to have problems in my life, in my family, in my body, my eyes. I see aging process coming in. You start thinking about this. Why am I going through this as a young person? Why, I'm young and I'm already going through problems. Maybe there's a young person who's called this evening. Something's going on with you. You got to know this lesson got to be for you. Because God has power. Power that worketh in us is that when you know God, you know inside of you, in your mind, in your heart, I serve a powerful God, a God who has divine power. He works in me through His word. When I understand and conceive the understanding of the God I serve, and His spirit works with our spirit. And when that works, there's power in that. And that power go to work in you. Next thing you know, you're telling everybody else, man, God is good. That's when you start saying stuff. God is good. You know God is good. Even when things ain't bad, if it's working in you, and you know he has the ability to make it better, or he has the ability to control it, or you say God is in control, no matter what's going on in my life, there's that power working in you. Who up against a surgeon? Who up against cancer? Who up against a kidney failure? Who's up against lung issues? Who's up against something going on in your body that you ain't felt before, some strain? Inside of you, you got to know this. God is able and conceive it in your mind. And let God be God. And that power will work in us and others will see it. Verse 21, hope you enjoy the lesson. He said, in Him to be glory in Christ Jesus in the church throughout all ages without world end. Amen. Throughout all ages unto generations of ages and ages. Paul says, I bow my knee. Unto Him be glory in the church. In the church or by the church. But to Him, Paul said in Romans 16:27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. In Ephesians 3 and verse 10, it says, through the intent and now to the principality of power in heavenly places might be known by the church. And we make known the church is the instrument that God uses to bring Him glory and to give the gospel to every creature who deserves it, which is all mankind. It's the church responsibility. That's why, brothers and sisters, we must continue to teach the simplicity of the gospel and to teach what thus said the Lord, and don't add to it or don't take away from it. And not only do we teach it and preach it, we live it. Paul is saying, this needs to be done throughout all generations, all ages, until this world is over, when God calls them home. It's the church. Let's not forget our responsibility to the world. Our responsibility to the world is without Him. We have an obligation to share this gospel that we've been preaching, to share this love that Paul just talked about. As I recap, Paul bowed his knee, number one, to the Father through Jesus Christ. He bowed his knees, praying for the whole family in heaven and earth. He bowed his knees that God would grant them, according to the riches of His glory, the strength they need. With the Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit, and the enemy false and a banner by my name, that Christ will stay, dwell, and you'll believe the word of God by faith. It's called the doctrine of Christ. And that you be rooted, abide my needs, that every Christian would be rooted and grounded in the glue that keeps the relationship with God together and the relationship with the love of the world. And that glue is love. Apostle, I'm praying, abide my needs, that they be able to comprehend the loss and the depth of that love, the height of that love, and the length of that love. I pray that we know the love of Christ, and we be filled, Paul said, with the fullness of all of God that he can give. And then he says, he bowed his knees to no one. And he was talking to one that's able to do exceeding abundant above all, and we ask or think. And that power is within us if we believe it. And then he closes. I bow my knee unto him. Be glory, talking to God. Give him the glory. In the church, by Christ, throughout all ages, world without any, without any. Wow, what a good lesson. I bow my knees. If you want to call this evening, this afternoon, you're not a Christian. Well, look out. Look what you're missing out on. We bow our knees and pray for you this afternoon. We bow our knees and pray that you believe that God so loved you, gave his only begotten Son. We bow our knees and pray that you believe that with all of your heart, that Jesus came and he lived among you. And we bow our knees to see you. Praying that you believe Jesus was on that cross after being brutally beaten, spit upon and mocked, nails in his hands and his feet. We bow our knees and pray you can see him with your eyes of faith that he was hanging there to save your soul. The love demonstrated was on the cross. That's why we sing the song at the cross, when I first saw the light. That's the love of God on the cross. Do you believe it with all of your heart? That when he died, John 19:30-40, piercing his side, I came blood and water. That blood washed your sins away in baptism. That blood and water mixture. That's what you miss having. Have your sins forgiven. They took him down off the cross, buried him in the tomb, and he got up with all power. And he gave the command to his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth in him baptized, shall be saved. Mark 16:15-16. Go teach all nations, he said. Matthew 28:18. Baptizing him. So you got to be baptized for the remission of forgiveness of sin. And then the Lord adds you to the family. That we talk about this evening, the family of God, the church of Christ, is made up of all nationality of people all across this world. Ukrainians are Christians. We got some over there that have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got Russians who are members of the Lord's church throughout the world. There are those who obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, member of the true church. You can read about it in the Bible. They're there and they're praying. And we're praying that you will obey this evening. This afternoon, we pray you will obey before it's everlasting. Turn too late. And you can do that by hitting 5-star on your phone. You've heard the gospel. Number 2, you got to believe it with all of your heart. Number 3, you got to repent. Make that decision. You're going to change your life and you're going to perish like that. And then you got to confess Jesus, Son of God, before men. And then you got to be baptized. And we bow our knees and pray that you do that this evening. And then when you add it to the Lord's church, remember, there's power working in you. And we do this. And we share. And we love. Because we are his children. He's our father. And we are the family of God. If you're a member of the Lord's church and you've fallen by the wayside, just get up. Get up and repent of your sin. That repentance takes place in your mind. You say, I'm not going to do that no more. And you make that confession. You repent before you make a confession. Repent because you can't be forgiven until you repent. You just report it if you just make a confession. If you repent in your mind, I'm not doing that no more. You say, I've sinned. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And you can be saved. Or maybe you're going through something. You're going through something in your life, in your family, in your personal life, or in the job, or with your health, or with something going on. We all got something to deal with. As a child of God, remember that God can do a seed abundantly above all you ask or all you think, because there's power working within you and the Spirit is guiding you. May God bless you. Hit 5-star on your phone. If you'd like to, for us to pray with you, hit 5-star on your phone. If you want to become a Christian, obey the gospel no matter where you are. We'll make it happen for you. We'll find a congregation closest to you, and we'll get them to baptize. They'll do it. They'll do it. They know that's what we have to do. If you want to become a member of the Church of Christ and you want to serve in Holiday, we'll make all that happen for you. Whatever we can do for those who are not members of the Church of Christ, if you better understand, you can let us know. Let us know. Hit 5-star on your phone and let us know what your needs are. Or maybe or if you're listening on a conference call, you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or go to our website, put in a prayer request there. You can go and let us know. We want to pray with you. We want to bow and pray for you and help you whatever we can, whatever way we can. Let's go ahead and sing the invitation song at this time. For those who want to become members, you hit 5-star on your phone. Those who need prayer, 5-star. Those who want to say, Lord, thank you. You can say that if you want to. Because you're in the family of God. You can go to whatever you would like to do at this time as we sing the song of invitation. Hit 5-star.